Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Praise God. Wow. It's good to have you.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you. But whenever I go, I know that I am just a point of contact from all of the faith and love and prayers and presence of the Lord that is here. And it's always amazing, and people always receive me as receiving you and get a real boost and oftentimes of a major breakthrough and a step forward, not just personally, but for the whole community. So we're experiencing the supernatural God who is with us right by our side. And so I'm very, very thankful. What a blessing and what an honor today.
Amen.
There are tons of stories of testimonies. Some really, really amazing things happened in Seattle. Many of you texted me or sent messages that you were praying. And I was in 5 cities in 18 days or something like that. And in every place, there were amazing testimonies. And evidences of the Lord's miraculous healing power and restoration and promotion and all of that. So it's wonderful to be home.
Yeah, and this is a special season in that we are people of the Holy Spirit. We're a healing center, a revival center. That's All Nations Church, the full, if you could drive in, it's on the board. It's All Nations Church Healing and Revival Center. So I'm glad that we as a community are praying and releasing the Lord's grace through that. And it's a place where people come for miracles and breakthroughs. And I'm so grateful. So we speak miracles. And I would know and catch the season. We are a prophetic people. So, but this is the last few weeks, as the year began, I felt like there was God was going to do certain things. And we need to catch the wave. I shared at the beginning of last year, a message on catching the wave. Prophetic things are happening, and we don't want to be blasé, but really hear what the Lord is doing and cooperate with Him and receive the benefits. He is moving, and may we catch the wave of blessing ourselves, our families, our children, the church, and the nation. We do not want to miss the moves of God. It was amazing. So many things were happening at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. But there were people, the prophetic gifts in the temple, others, who recognized this is the day the Lord, it has been prophesied the Messiah is coming. He is here.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to miss when the Lord's. That's part of being a prophetic people, that we read the signals of the Lord. So I felt something distinct about this time of Purim, which is the Jewish festival that they celebrate their great deliverance during the time of Esther, during the Medo-Persian Empire. There are different things happening. That's on the other side in Greece and Battle of Thermopylae and the Spartans defending Western civilization. It was during this time that the Medo-Persian Empire was rising, and then the story of Esther. So this season is the month of Adar in the Hebrew calendar. And so the rabbis at this time, the Orthodox, will read the book of Esther. This is, like I've said, the last week and a half or so, that if you get time, read the book of Esther, just a few chapters. But it's get in the flow of that there is a satanic spirit that hates the work of God. There is a spirit, powerful demonic spirit, but Jesus gave us victory over every demonic power. But we have to enforce the victory of the Lord, and that this at this time, many years ago, the enemy wanted to destroy the community out of which the Messiah was going to come. He was going to try to destroy all the Jews. And that at that time, Haman was the demonic servant, the servant of darkness. But God raised up Mordecai and Esther to save God's people. And there was a great miracle turnaround. So that's this. So after that, all these centuries, the Jews celebrate this season called Purim. And Pur is the way they drew through lots to find out which date they were going to massacre the Jews. That it was throwing of the lots was called Pur in the Persian language. And from Pur came Purim. So, but there is, it's not only a celebration of what happened ancient days, but God is God. He is active today. And he is doing the same things that he did 2,000, 3,000 years ago. So, on Wednesday evening, Purim started throughout the day of Thursday. And it was also Bonnie's birthday. How about that? And so on that day, the President of the United States, on the day of Purim, he declared that America recognizes Israel's authority over the Golan Heights. This was, it was. An amazingly important event, because when this, the beginning of the 1900s, the big powers that kind of controlled much of what was happening in a lot of many major parts of the world was, one was the British Empire, and the other was the French. They had a lot of, especially in the Middle East, the British were involved. You might see, if you saw the movie, The Lawrence of Arabia, first part, General Allenby, others involved. And Allenby is the general who wrote, after the Ottoman Empire falls, he rode through the gates of of Jerusalem, but he got off his horse and said, only one person is going to ride through these gates, and it's the King of Kings one day when he comes back. So he got off his horse and walked through the gates. But those are some of the things, the events. And at that time, because there were the powers, they would say to this Arab nation, you're going to have this. And then, because they had defeated the Ottoman Empire. But at that time, they gave the Golan Heights to the Syrian tribes in Syria. But there were these heights, the Golan Heights, that happened on Thursday, was really belonged to Israel by inheritance, by the promised land, the Lord's promises to Israel, the tribe of Dan and Manasseh, where that was a property given to the among the 12 tribes of Israel. The tribe of Dan and Manasseh got that as an inheritance. But a lot of history happened in between. So, but Israel in 1967, when they got repossessed Jerusalem, they also repossessed this land, but they could not officially, it was not recognized until this Thursday, President Trump declared the Golan Heights to be the sovereign property of Israel. So it was a great victory, and I believe gave a lot of joy to the heart of the Lord, that this is, as we bless Israel, we'll be blessed. So this was. So on this day then, here is a quote from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And he said in Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, this is news item from CBN, celebrated President Trump's decision to recognize the Golan Heights as part of Israel. By the way, as you see it, the pictures of the Golan Heights, you'll see it's a high place. More than 500 square miles of property on the mountain sites that look down on vast portions of Israel. So whoever owns that can basically, if they put their rockets and arms, artillery, or that they could rule and dominate over Israel. And so our recognizing, so as we, again, Thursday, we blessed Israel. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. So I want you to get in line to catch the wave of blessing for you and your family, for America,
Thank you, Lord.
Our families. I want to say, go, Lord, we are in line for that blessing also. Because those who bless Israel
will be blessed.
All right? So we are looking at the Bible, not so much politics, but history and the blessing of the Lord. The word of the Lord is, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your children.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm putting my hands up, this church's community's hands up, saying, we want to receive, Lord, all your blessing and your breakthrough in the name of Jesus. So here is Netanyahu saying, President Trump has just made history. I called him. I thanked him on behalf of the people of Israel. Netanyahu said in a joint press conference with visiting U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Near the end of Pompeo's visit to Israel, Trump tweeted out his surprise announcement. After 52 years, it is time for the United States to fully recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which is of critical strategic and security importance to the state of Israel and regional stability. Standing alongside Pompeo, Netanyahu was visibly excited and called it a Purim miracle. Say Purim miracle.
Purim miracle.
And the prime minister said he did it again. First, President Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital and moved the U.S. embassy here.
Oh, Lord.
Then he pulled out of the disastrous Iran treaty. But now he did something of equal historic importance. He recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. And he did so at a time when Iran is trying to use Syria as a platform to attack and destroy Israel. And the message that President Trump has given the world is that America stands by Israel. So this was the Purim miracle. And I am speaking, as the Prime Minister said, of Israel said, Purim miracle. We want to receive and release the blessing of the Purim miracle for every family, for all of us, saying, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I receive by faith your Purim miracle. So in also then at the same time, as the Secretary of State of the United States was in Israel, said this on the, I believe on the same day, CBN interviewed Secretary Pompeo. By the way, there have been a couple of times where over the many years when I've gone to Israel, CBN would sit me down and do an interview. So I'm familiar with some of those guys who are reporters there. And so in there, I just wanted to take note of a phrase that Secretary Pompeo said. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tells CBN News, it is very possible that President Trump is a modern-day Esther, poised to defend Israel and save the Jewish people. So he, the Secretary of State of the United States, is declaring to the world, we have a modern-day Esther. And President Trump is the modern-day Esther. I want to clarify, I would put a postscript to that and say President Trump is not as pretty as Queen Esther, but he did something very powerful in the Purim miracle. So this is, I want to get in line with the Purim miracle. And part of it then is, as you see what happens, the Lord says that he speaks basically what, for me, what it means is, as last year we had the great prophetic event after 70 years that United States, the number one nation really, recognized Jerusalem as the sovereign capital of Israel. This means a lot to the Lord and to prophetic history. So that a blessing, those who may they prosper who love thee. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So we wanted to get in line with that. And then there was a fresh, double with this Purim miracle. and it's part of the restoration of Israel. Mm-hmm. So the word for me was that is restoration. Say restoration.
Restoration.
So that's one of the prophetic words that the Lord is speaking and releasing as he's restoring Israel. What had been promised had been stolen by man, by governments, other. That was part of the promised land God gave to the tribes of Israel, and yet others had encroached on them. Now, once again, God is restoring the blessing yeah. of Israel, its territory, all of that. As he does so in the natural, that at the same time, God is blessing us and restoring. I've shared a little aspect of it over the years, and this was one of the greatest Bible teachers that was our mentor and teacher, Brother Derek Prince, talked about also, that realized that as God restores his natural people, Israel, he's restoring, is the same kind of parallel blessing will come on God's people, the Christian community. So we as believers in Jesus, we are also the spiritual covenant people. And we believe in the Bible, we have received Jesus. And therefore, this we are in line for what he does in the natural. So when he restored, for example, the parallel restoration, as I've quoted this often, that I refer to because I like movies, but mm-hmm. Fiddler on the Roof, at the end, you yeah. find that because of the programs and pogroms, there were persecution of Jews in Russia and in Eastern Europe, made a lot of them go home. The pressure made them go home to the area of Israel, to the original homeland. For 2,000 years, they had been saying, next year in Jerusalem,
yeah.
next year, then there.
Thank you.
But pressure Jesus. Made them go. So you find in the early 1900s, thousands of Jews started coming home. By the way, if you love history, you may want to look up on Google the Dreyfus Affair in the 1890s. There was a major trial, an accusation against a Jewish, a very well-noted, a heroic Jewish officer in the French army who was falsely accused because he was a Jew and was imprisoned in Devil's Island. It created a great... It was because he was Jewish, and the other French army generals were very anti-Jewish, so it created a great hubbub. But it created a stir. Part of it was it made the Jews realize mm-hmm. their home was Israel. Mm-hmm. They needed to go home. So this was around the 1900s, and at the same time that as this happens, Azusa Revival happens. So God's people
Amazing.
Are in tremendous revival. The same time, so as we looked, we were, as young students, started learning
right.
these things. As we were in our 20s and 30s, this was some truth that was, we were seeing it in our day. I was in college in 1967 when the Six-Day War came and realized after 2,000 years, the sovereignty of Jerusalem finally came into the hands of the Jewish people. This was prophetic history being fulfilled in our lifetime.
Yep.
So that happened. And now, this Golan Heights being restored is major stuff happening in biblical history. So that is a blessing. And so this blessing is, I want to speak it over you. I want to speak it to every member of your family. And may you, as Israel is being restored, there's parallel blessing coming on us, on the Christian believers in Jesus. We have the blessings of Abraham. The curse is broken. So as we take communion, this is what we are rehearsing. The curse, any kind of curse over our family line, generational, we can break in the name of Jesus. If there are shadows of addiction, that is broken. If there is drug addiction, we break those. And if there is some kind of depression or different kinds of infirmities that go generations down, those family curses are broken through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then there are fresh waves of glory and blessing. So this is part of restoration. Say restoration.
Restoration.
So as 1948, as Israel is replanted as a sovereign nation, we started experiencing the Great Crusades of Billy Graham, Oral Roberts. I mean, there were millions of Americans came to Jesus Christ during that time of revival. So then in the 67 to 70, 1970s, or late 67, there was a charismatic outpouring. So we will simultaneously get outpouring of the Holy Spirit blessing us. So this, as the word that came to me, was restoration. So that he is going to restore. I will give you Joel. Let me go to Joel, the book of Joel. And Joel chapter 2.
Hallelujah.
And it says, get a picture,
Thank you, Lord,
what God
Jesus
means by restoration.
Yeah.
And Joel chapter 2, verse 25. I mean, the whole chapter is awesome. The verses we've said, be glad then, verse 23, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Believe me, we have had so much rain this last, I was getting tired. And I was going to officially send a note to Michael Nykum and say, Michael, let's pause on the rain songs for a couple of weeks. The more he would sing about, let it rain,
true,
let it rain, and it would start coming
day
after day. We are grateful for that. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat.
Thank you, Lord.
The vats shall overflow with new wine. So, verse 25, Joel chapter 2. So I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army we've just sent among you. I will restore. Say, I will restore.
I will restore.
So you can take it in several areas. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. How about that? As there was the movement in our Congress the last few weeks of anti-Semitic voices, basically anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish, anti-Israeli Congress people who have been out there speaking almost curses, and which is bad stuff. They don't. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. So those who curse Israel will bring a curse on them. Anyway, well, we are, it's for me and my house, that's for the Church of Jesus Christ. We are blessing Israel. Amen. And the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is awake. So anyway, but the Lord is restoring. I will restore. Say, I will restore.
I will restore.
So we have had, I don't know, I used to, Bonnie and I got, Bonnie started, so I blame her, but she used to watch those HDTV Fixer Uppers. Have you seen Fixer Upper Uppers? How many of you like those programs? Yeah, and they take this old house and then they fix and it looks better than ever before.
Yeah.
That's restoration.
Right.
That's a work, that's an example. Or how they take an old Cadillac from the late 40s, and then they restore it, and it is better than brand new. So that's, God says, I will restore. And so restoration for our nation. Whatever the enemy is doing, we're going to focus and speak the word of restoration for our nation, for our family. And you take this word. God, this is scripture here. Take it and speak over your house, over your family. Take the pictures of each of your children, if they are living far away, and say, I speak the word of restoration for my family, for my children, for my son, for my daughter, for my grandchildren. I speak health. I speak success. I speak promotion. I speak favor. And so this is the overflow from what we are seeing happening. This is the word of God for your family, for your health, for your finances. God is restoring. And then you have spoken about God. This is also restoration in the church. Restoration for the arts.
Yeah.
Restoration for music and for worship.
Absolutely. Amen? Absolutely. And the thing that I would like to put here very clearly and very strongly in this context is the witness of faith that we get when we hear the word like this, and it comes to us, and then we step in prophetically to lay hold of it, and as we go about our week, we'll remember and we'll, you know, be claiming and releasing this blessing because we have a witness of faith in our spirit. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. But all of this, the backdrop, is predicated upon the beginning of the work of restoration that God did when he raised Jesus from the dead. Very important. Say, it's the resurrection.
Resurrection.
The resurrection.
Resurrection.
The resurrection.
Resurrection.
Now, don't just think we're thinking forward to a day when we'll all be changed and be clothed in our glorified body, because Jesus' resurrection and his remaining in the earth, say in the earth.
Yeah.
You remember, maybe you don't remember, but at the beginning of service, I read from Psalm 24, the Message Bible, and it begins, God claims earth and everything in it. God claims world and all who live on it. And the resurrection of Jesus in a new body, when he became the last Adam, the second man, it was the official button push. And it worked a lot better than some we've seen in the political sphere in recent years. God pushed restart and began the restoration of creation and of human race in the resurrection of Jesus. And the significance of Jesus continuing in this world, in the resurrected fullness, the resurrected state. He ate, he talked, he cooked, he walked, he did all kinds of things. And it was a demonstration that the restoration project had begun. And then he didn't just exit, but he told his disciples, I have to leave you. I can't stay here with you like this. Because when I go to the Father, then we'll come back. We'll come again in the Holy Spirit on absolutely every human being that believes and lays hold and is awakened and then becomes a living temple district, walking around in these frail, mortal human bodies with God Almighty indwelling us, having put us on like a glove because of the sacrifice of Jesus. But this restoration project is not just forward. It is begun now in the earth. In the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, his resurrection, he's called the first fruits. So it was day one, just like Genesis 1:1. It was day one of creation, of recreation, and the reclamation of the earth. And one of the biggest ripoffs in our theology, particularly Western modern Protestant theology for the last couple of hundred years, has been this idea that the end of this world is fire and judgment, and we're all sucked out of here in a great vacuum into, you know, wherever up there, to kick our heels together and say, glory, hallelujah, we won, we few, we true. But that is not it. The resurrection of Jesus in the body, demonstrated in the earth, and then his transitioning as the King of glory and the releasing of himself in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was the beginning of the reclamation. It was the ultimate fixer-upper HGTV demonstration, and it has begun and it continues. So when we pray, your will be done on in earth as it is in heaven, we are all participants. And just like Esther, we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, and each one of us is anointed, appointed, filled, commissioned to be alive now in these events to be a bringer of deliverance. And in many, 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 many ways, God is doing this. But we need to recognize that our hope is not somewhere, some vague thing, sometime in the future. When no, it is now. Say now.
Now.
Say, the fixer-upper.
Fixer-upper.
Has begun.
Has begun.
Began with me. The resurrection of Jesus. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. And now, I realize I have come to the kingdom in the earth for such a time as this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know what? If I can just say this, as you were talking about President Trump, I suddenly, you know, it's like his presidency was flashing before my eyes. And I realized that behind the scenes, love him, hate him, ignore him, wherever you're at on all of that, the fact of the matter is that behind the scenes, these overt declarations concerning Israel, in a cosmic sense, announce to principalities and powers that the gospel is true and Jesus is king. Because all of the restoration of Israel is wrapped up in that. And the Apostle Paul said, we're getting the first fruits, the first part, we who have been grafted in. But when God lifts the veil and Israel is restored, all Israel, it will be what? Like resurrection. Life from the dead. Such an incredible time. So these announcements, yes, they're what we call politics. But they are cosmic things announcing, you know what? The Bible is true. Jesus is king.
Yes.
And then in the world order, in the cultures and in societies and in governments, and particularly right now in ours, it is a major pushback against the rising tide of anti-Semitism. So praise the Lord for the season that we're in. Look at your neighbor. Say, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. To bring deliverance and announce restoration has come. And I would like to say, I say this specifically for Scott Bennington, but this is a general word for us. While we were worshiping and Pastor was talking, I was thinking about the history of Israel and what seems to be the slow fulfillment of all of God's promises. The scripture says, though the vision tarry, wait for it. For it surely will come and will not fail. So can we take that for the promises of God? There are many in here today and in the sound of our voice who have the vision, who have the prophetic promise, who have the scripture, who have those prophecies, who have that knowing from the Lord. So this is a word of the Lord. We're speaking over that vision. Though it tarry, wait for it in expectation, for it will surely come and will not fail. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Amen. And in that wave, then, I mean, include, I really have such a burden for every family that the Lord includes the whole household, a lamb for a household. So yeah. In this time of restoration, then, we want to include that all marriages and homes will be in revival,
amen.
That we bind
Lord.
Anything attacking happy homes. We bind the spirit of divorce. We bind the spirit of especially this major enemy that has risen up recently is the addiction that so many people, good people, but they have been grabbed by addictions. That there are people with education, people with pretty good income, but somehow the devil grabs them by this, by taking some drugs. Just, hey, this won't hurt you. Try this. By the way, they're finding research showing more and more, and the media will not allow this often, but marijuana is one of the most horrible things. It says harmless, come on, smoke a little. It really, really does a number on people's brains and it damages them. And after that, they go on to other drugs. But this is something that it is now one of the strong men, I call it, or a principality over our nation that we need to take authority over in this time of restoration. We want families to be healed. We don't want people to have experienced tragedies. So at doing funerals for their young children because they have overdosed on this thing. So it's a major enemy that we need to battle spiritually against generically demonic things. So, but God wants to restore health to our homes, our marriages, and health and healing and restoration of our fortunes, restoration of finances.
Yep.
And the Lord promised in Jeremiah, he said he would, in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and you will come, pray to me, and I will hear and heed your prayers. Then you will seek me, inquire, require me as a vital necessity. Find me when you search me, for with all your heart I'll be found by you, says the Lord. I will release you from captivity, gather you from all the nations and all the places to which I've driven you, says the Lord. And I'll bring you back to the place from which I caused you to be carried away, captive." So this is part of the promise of restoration. As we see that in Israel, we're going to see restoration for our families, for our children, for our finances. And in that area, by the way, I want to make sure that we don't, it's sometimes in this culture we start drifting away. And if nobody helps us, we'll suddenly find ourselves in a different place. That the Lord says, come back, come back. I'm wherever you are scattered, come on back. Don't get off the trail. It's where there is a blessing for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to release you. But one of the areas that we can often drift away is in our tithing and offering. We need to be aggressive in our giving and in our tithing, because this is, God is saying, I'm going to restore your fortunes. I'm going to restore your finances. But if we don't give him the proper foundations, we are in disobedience. We need to make sure that we are aggressively tithing and giving offerings. That it used to be amazing how much giving. And you'll still find that in the Jewish people, those who make a lot, but they will give. In Israel, you find so many foundations and all that given by different families that they give out of their abundance. God wants to give, make you a person who gives major tithing and offering, that as he restores, we in return bless the work of the Lord, the works of compassion, the work of building his house.
I would like to just encourage you and inspire you to let this picture rest in your mind. When it comes to your worship, which includes our giving of ourselves, our time, our resources, remember the story of our great, 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 great granddaddy of faith, Abraham. The just shall live by faith. And he actually is our first example of giving of the spoils of the accomplishments of life to Melchizedek, to the priest king of what would become the city of Jerusalem. There in the gates, Abraham comes after a great victory, and he drops a plumb line and basically says, I am not going to support unrighteousness. However, I recognize the Lord and his glory, and he gives Melchizedek a tithe. But the picture that I'm thinking of is such a demonstration of Abraham's heart of faith, because you remember when he was going to give the greatest thing that he had, his son, that son, the son of promise, the Lord met him there. He went right to the brink. Say, right to the brink. And sometimes, literally, the Lord allows us, wants us, draws us to come right to the brink, because he wants to let us know what's in our hearts and give us our promised possession. So he'll bring us right to the brink. So Abraham is there. He's got Isaac. He's got him bound on the altar and is getting ready to actually sacrifice his one and only precious promise, treasure, son, inheritance, future, everything. And he's got him there on the altar. And suddenly, Jesus, pre-incarnate, the angel of the Lord with a capital A, suddenly Jesus, the one who will become the son of sacrifice, is standing there beside Abraham and holds his hand from slaying his son and says, look up. Tell your neighbor, look up.
Look up.
So this is a season for us to lift our vision, to look up and see in faith that God has indeed, through the sacrifice of Jesus, has provision caught for us in the thorny events of our lives. And remember, there was a ram caught in the thicket. So let's look up and remember and know with all of our hearts and encourage one another in the thorny circumstances of day-to-day life that through Jesus Christ, God has provided a ram and all provision. Say, God has provided.
God has provided.
So I want you just to think for a second, close your eyes for 1 minute and allow yourself to be Abraham on the mountain and looking up and seeing that living provision caught there for you by the Lord. His restoration has begun.
Amen. So, tell your neighbor, he is restoring.
Amen. He is restoring.
So all, whatever he has stolen, it says, God says in Joel chapter 2, I will restore. Say, he will restore.
He is restoring.
And I claim that.
Jesus.
For the whole body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah.
For our families, for our marriages, for our homes.
Yeah.
He is restoring. And then anointings. The God has callings and anointings and ministries and talents that God has given you. Dreams from the past. May the Lord, God says, I'm going to restore your dreams. Some of you who need to write books, may the Lord restore you. Some of you who have a ability to write songs, may the Lord restore. I want to find that fire. And may the Lord restore the fortunes. May the Lord restore finances in a major way, that there is going to be a turnaround. I went from A to Z restoration listed, that he is going to restore our anointing. He's going to restore our burden for the lost. He's going to restore our compassion. He's going to restore our desire for God's house. That he's going to restore our effectiveness.
Amen. Receive
it. He's going to restore our faithfulness. He is going to restore our glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Just like the face of Moses. He's going to restore our hunger.
Thank you,
for
Lord.
God and the things of God. That he is going to restore our illumination.
Thank you, Jesus.
God shining on us. He's going to restore our joy. He's going to restore our kindness. He's going to restore our love for the Lord and for his people. He's going to restore our motivation.
Thank you, Lord.
He is going to restore our newness and freshness. He's going to restore our optimism. Depression is going to be far from us. And restore our power. That he's going to restore our quality of character. He's going to restore our relationships.
Thank you, Jesus.
With the Lord and with one another. That broken relationships be healed. Restore our sincerity. Restore our talents.
Thank you, Jesus.
Restore the unction. Restore our victory.
Thank you,
restore
Lord.
Our worship. Restore our exaltation. Restore our yearning for the Lord and for worship.
Thank you, Lord.
Restore our zeal. And he will do these things as we turn fresh, as we get inspiration. That there is a Purim miracle being released over us.
Yeah.
I will restore what the devil has stolen in Jesus'
name. Amen.
Give the Lord a thank you, Father.
Yes.
He is restoring.
So put your hand on a neighbor, look him right in the eye, and say, from start to finish, from beginning to end, I prophesy in the name of Jesus. He is restoring all things. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. A to Z. Woo! Alpha
Restoration.
To Omega. Woo!
Restoration.
Come on.
Restoration.
Nothing
Restoration.
Left out. Nothing left
Thank
out.
You.
Hallelujah,
As we
Jesus.
See the Golan Heights, it is in front of us. As we see this happening, we're going to catch the wave.
Yeah. Yep.
And speak it over each of your children and your grandchildren. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He
Amen.
Is restoring. Yeah. Tell your neighbor again, stand up. And we speak to those watching us on the World Wide Web and say, He is restoring. Say, He is restoring.
He is restoring.
Hallelujah. Woo! Turn to your neighbor. Say, He is restoring.
Restoring.
All that you need in your finances, in your encouragement, in your talent. He is restoring callings that you have had. Your prophetic callings. Your ability to heal people. Your ability. God is restoring back to His church in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Give Him a big clap up. Thank you, Father. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.